Thank you, Richard and Tony and Richie. We appreciate you guys this morning leading us in that portion of our worship service. And thanks to Fred and Roy for leading us last week on our first Sunday of Advent. And as we continue on, we'll light another candle each week until they're all lit. And finally, on Christmas Eve, of course, we will light the Christ candle. Children are now dismissed for Children's Church. And if you have your Bibles with you or follow along in a pew Bible or your phone app or up on the screen, our scripture for this morning will be there. It's from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Have you ever noticed that we have a lot of traditions at Christmas time? Everyone has some of the same traditions, and then there are family that have different traditions than we do. But nonetheless, we all have traditions, right? For instance, perhaps you, like others I see popping up all over the place now, put lights on your house, maybe outside. Personally, I would like to think that those lights are signifying that Jesus is the light of the world. Maybe some people see that, maybe some don't. But for me, that's what I see when I see lights of any kind. What about the Christmas tree? A tradition that we have, in fact, we have several of them right here in our own sanctuary. We even have a white one in the back. Somebody plug that in. And there's nice, pretty ones up here on the stage as well. And we have all kinds of greenery around. Now, to me, that signifies life. But for others, it may, thank you, Liz, it may just be, you know, something that they do, but they don't understand why they are doing it. Much of the world pauses at this time of the year to celebrate a holiday. That, of course, is Christmas Day, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I would say that many people do not know why they are celebrating that holiday. It's just tradition for them. It's a chance to get together with family and loved ones to exchange gifts and to eat lots of food and to celebrate. But when we look at the very first proclamation of Christmas from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, which I read from this morning, we find there that the good news came from heaven and it came to earth. It came from God through an angel. A host of heavenly hosts that were gathered around these shepherds in a field as they were watching their flocks. And these voices of angels were speaking to the shepherds, and they were reminding them and they were reminding us what this season is all about and why we do the things that we do, why we celebrate this season, why we pause for this time of the year. And that reminder goes like this: a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The good news of great joy is not just for some. The good news of great joy, the message that the angels were proclaiming on that first proclamation of Christmas, was a good news of great joy for all of creation, for all humankind to hear. not just the shepherds, not just a select few in a foreign country far off, but for people literally all over the world. A Messiah was going to be born. A Savior was coming to the world from heaven to us here on earth. A long-awaited Savior that people had looked for centuries was finally coming. It's important for us to understand, though, in the midst of this, not to be confused. Because we can look at this message and we can say, well, that never really happened. Because there's war. Because there's famine. Because there are poor. Because they're neglected. And we can say, where is the peace in all of that? That's the peace that you and I think of, perhaps, when we hear this message proclaimed from Luke's gospel. But this message that the angels proclaimed was not a message of world peace or a declaration of the end of strife and war. It was not an announcement that all of a sudden, hey, everybody's going to get along with their neighbors finally and get together and be happy. That's not the message that was being proclaimed here. It's much, much bigger. And it's much, much more important than what I've just described. Listen, the peace that the angels proclaimed on that first Christmas was a message that God loved you so much that he was sending his son into the world so that you could be forgiven of your sin, that which separates you from God. And when we have that, we can truly have peace, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of difficulties, of being homeless, of being poor, of being starving. In the midst of that, even though those are challenging and very difficult and terrible situations, God's peace is still there for those that accept by faith Jesus Christ and invite him into their hearts. We see an example of this in Luke's gospel again, and in this time we're looking at Luke chapter 7, and in verse 37 there's this story that we, most of us all know, and it's the story of a woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And it was later on that Jesus tells her, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And then he concludes, as he did with those 10 lepers, that one that came back, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She experienced the peace of God because he forgave her of her sins. That's the example that we see. And so no wonder the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest, right? And you and I should be right there along with them, proclaiming that very same peace. The angels declared that this peace belongs to those on whom God's favor rests. Have you ever thought of yourself as that person? You are one upon whom God's favor rests. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are one of those people upon whom God's favor rests. The Lord's favor rests ultimately on those who accept Jesus Christ, who seek forgiveness, ask for that forgiveness, and then are forgiven of their sins. And as a result, then, it is our responsibility and great privilege to then pass that peace on to others. That's what Christmas is all about. The love of God came down in human form, not that we went up to him, but that he came down to us. Because Jesus brought us peace with God. One of the greatest responses that we can have then is to share that peace with someone else. And this time of the year, as perhaps no other, people are more receptive than any other to hearing the message of Jesus Christ. They don't necessarily want to hear about church and all the things that go on in church, but they want to hear about Jesus. They want to find that peace, that love, and that joy, and that hope that escapes them in this world, and they're looking for it, and they can't find it. You have responsibility to be peace, passing peace to them, to be proclaimers of peace this Christmas amongst all of the traditions and the preparations and the celebrations that you and I are part of. That is our responsibility, to bring peace in the midst of all that we attend to this Christmas. But let's be honest. The truth is that most families don't experience this peace. Let's face it. Sometimes as we look to this season and we anticipate the family gatherings, we say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Just get me through it. Help me to tolerate being with these people that I only have to see once or twice a year, you know, at graduations or funerals or weddings or holidays. Just get me through, Lord. There are always those people that require an extra special measure of God's grace in those families. And by the way, if you don't know who those people are in your family, it's probably you. Advent and Christmas can actually be more strife and more stress and conflict rather than peace. But as ones who receive peace, it is our responsibility to proclaim peace. Jesus said, as he gave the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Now comes an important time within this message where I hope that you'll really see the difference between what we're going to call peacemaking and peacekeeping. Peacemaking is not the same as peacekeeping. Peacemaking is not the same as peacekeeping. When Jesus brought peace on earth, he didn't just sign some kind of a treaty or a truce. He brought us back to unity. He brought us back to harmony with God. Jesus didn't tolerate us or put up with us, but he restored us in right relationship with him through his Son, or through God's Son, Jesus Christ. He restored us to make a way. He didn't make a way to endure being with us, like many of us are thinking about at this holidays. Lord, just let me endure, let me get through this thing. Here it comes again. He made a way for us to be near him, to be close to him, and to develop a loving relationship with him. Peacemaking is much, much deeper than peacekeeping. Peacemaking is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Peacemaking restores relationships. It brings harmony. It goes beyond just avoiding conflict and just getting through. It brings relationship. It brings restoration. It brings a unity. And Jesus gives us that opportunity today to restore peace in our families, to bring peace on earth as God intended, to accept Jesus, to seek forgiveness from our sins. Aren't you glad that the angel didn't proclaim, "And on earth, God puts up with those upon his favor and whom his favor rests"? Aren't you glad that that wasn't what was said? That God just puts up with us? That God just tolerates who we are until he can get through and figure out something better? No. But for many of us, Christmas is a time when we lack peace. And perhaps even throughout the year, as Christ followers, we don't fully comprehend what peace is all about. We have our families. We have lack of peace there. We have lack of peace because we have conflicts. We have conflicts with our parents. We have conflicts with our children. We have conflicts with our neighbors. We have conflicts with our siblings. There are conflicts within the world between nations. These things exist and they are real. And many of us are struggling to keep it all together, to try to get through it and to cling to whatever peace that we might hold on to until it's all over with on December 25th. And then we can get back to normal. I submit to you this morning that there is more to Christmas than what has been described. There is much more that we can have at Christmas time. As a child of God, brought to God through Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, you don't have to be just a peacekeeper and just survive the holidays. Instead, you can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in the midst of your family's conflicts and strife. You can be the one who is bringing peace, a peacemaker who lives out and brings their faith and proclaims peace that is transforming. For example, Christmas has become such a commercialized thing, and this has been now for decades. And we feel like, perhaps some anyway, that when we're given a list of what people want for Christmas, that we have to buy everything on the list, that we have to provide all that's there, even if we can't afford it, even if we have to put it on a card and pay it off through the year. But you don't have to be a peacekeeper who has to try to survive the holidays. You can be more than that. You are guaranteeing yourself stress. You are guaranteeing yourself anxiety and strife. And you are guaranteeing yourself that Christmas gifts that you buy and that you can't afford, that you'll pay for the rest of the year with interest. Like Cousin Eddie said in the movie Christmas Vacation, Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year through. Some of us find ourselves in that situation. But hear the contrast. How about sitting down with your family and talking about what Christmas is truly all about and what you hope it can be? It can change. It can change in your family traditions. You can add a new tradition. You can add suggestions on how you'd like to give. Of course, the reason that we give gifts in the first place is because God gave to us. But we also give because we have this example of the Magi bringing the child Jesus three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Perhaps this year, like some here in our church have done that I've heard about, are giving three gifts. They're giving a want, a need, and a read. Something that person wants, something that they need, socks and underwear, and something to read, a good book for them to read. Perhaps those are three gifts that you might consider this year, and the understanding of why you're giving them. Maybe you can suggest that to your family this year. But if your children and your family are only seeking to be happy, if they get everything they want for Christmas, maybe, just maybe, you'll be doing them a favor by disappointing them this year. By not getting everything on their list. By proclaiming peace in your heart. A peace that won't last just for a day or for a special moment on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. But a peace that is ongoing, that is life-sustaining. Perhaps you can get to a person that someday will then realize that my life is not completely concerned with or consumed by or centered on me. It's much, much more than that. That's just a small example, but it's the difference between peacekeeping, trying to keep everybody together and keep everybody happy, or peacemaking. making. Peacekeeping is tries to appease everyone, to keep everybody together and keep everyone satisfied, or at least just quietly disgruntled. But peacemaking is what brings us people together. It addresses those underlying issues that are there and everybody knows about, but they just kind of set them aside at Christmas and pretend like they don't exist. We need healing in our families. We need healing in our nation. We need restoration in our world as never before. And yet it's right there. That's the peace that God brings. The peace in the midst of violence. He brings that to us and gives it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we, as Christ followers, be doing the same for our families? One of the dangers of this season is always getting caught up in the traditions. And I'm just like the rest. I enjoy the lights. And they do mean Jesus is the light of the world to me. I enjoy the decorations. I enjoy the meals and the celebrations. I enjoy putting up a tree and the ornaments that hold special memory for me as older I get. The memories of hanging some of those same ornaments on my tree with my mom and dad and my brother. Or ornaments that I've hung on the tree now through almost 30 years with my wife and with our three sons and now with our grandsons. Those are wonderful things and wonderful meaning, and there's purpose in them. But the greater message is that you and I will have an opportunity to make connections this year and hold conversations with people that we don't always see throughout the year. Or at least have the opportunity to converse with in a real truthful way. How about that changing this Christmas? Now is the time. Today is the day to consider how we can proclaim Christ through what we say and how we act. Now is the time. That's why most every year since I've been here, I've always invited you to let your family know, even when you're gathering on Christmas Eve, to take that break for 45 minutes or so, to come and worship Christ on Christmas Eve. And even if your family refuses to come with you, you can't make them, be that example. Be that one who says, you know what, I'll be back, but I'm coming because this is what my faith means to me. You are an example to them. They're watching you. Be that person this year. But let me say this. In order for us to be peacemakers, we have to have peace ourselves. We have to have that peace in our hearts. We have to have asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, where we have fallen short, in order for us to be able to possess that. Now listen, you know, no one expects you to be perfect. No one here is perfect. I know I'm far from it. No one on this earth is perfect. No one expects you to be. But if you're overwhelmed, if you're stressed out, if you're exhausted, just think, what kind of peace are you able to bring in the midst of all that chaos of your family gatherings, your company Christmas party, your friends at Christmas? What peace can you bring if that you're not experiencing it yourself? And despite all the talk of peace and God's grace among Christians and churches at this time of year, I think there are few of us that really truly experience the peace that God can bring. Notice that there isn't anything that we have to do. We didn't go to God and ask for this. He came to us. He came near to us. It wasn't anything in the proclamation from the angels of what we're to do. God's favor rests upon His people. That is there for us in Luke 2:11. A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. That is the message of the angels. of the heavenly hosts that came along. A Savior has been born to you. We didn't earn that favor. That favor rests upon us only because we accept it, and we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. I wish some days that I had the, opportunity to give that one message that would really change someone's life, that would help bring them into the kingdom. Sometimes we're just planting seeds and we don't really understand why at some point years later they sprout and they go. And other times we work and there's nothing. But you and I can proclaim peace still, even in the midst of all that. And I ask you today, are you willing to take up that message? Because it was Jesus, God's Son, who crossed that chasm between heaven and earth first. It was God who decided, you know what, I need to fix this. I need to make a way where we can be reunited and have fellowship. It was the angels later on who would come to earth announcing that very Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to forgive us of our sins and, yes, to bring peace because of that forgiveness. And in the midst of all of our traditions and celebrations and, yes, even the obligations, the things that we have to do, will you put forth that same effort to bridge that gap? Will you put forth that same effort to proclaim the peace and shout glory to God in the highest heaven, even in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the traditions and lights and trees and presents? Will our lives make that same proclamation? Will you be a peacemaker this Christmas? Let us pray. God, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, so that we can have peace with you. We ask that you increase our peace and pour out your peace to others through us. This Christmas, may we be peacemakers who point others to the peace of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Our closing hymn of invitation this morning is number 184. And perhaps you're here today and for the first time you've really realized what that peace meant. And you need to come to Jesus and ask him for that forgiveness. If God has spoken to your heart, perhaps today to unite with his church or to renew your faith in Jesus Christ at this Christmas season, let this be the day. The time is now. Maybe you're here today and you're in need of prayer. There are those here that would love to pray with you today. If God has spoken to you this morning through his word and by the power of his Holy Spirit, don't put him off. Today is the day. Now is the time. Let's stand together as we sing number 184, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing.